Do you?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay. All right. Cool. And we have 114 people on the line with us right now. I just want to welcome all of you guys. I'm sure it's 115, 116. Everybody's joining.
Growing.
Right now. Yeah, it's just going to keep going up. Okay. Well, I had to change my screen settings to make it the right dimension, so my computer looks a little weird to me, so let's figure out how to start this. There we go. Look at that. I don't know why we have this ugly yellow line on, or ugly white line on the side, but that's pretty. Whoops. Okay. Well, let's officially get this show on the road, shall we? Happy Saturday, everyone. I'm JP Moses, and Bob Norton is here with me. And probably, chances are, most of you guys know us pretty well. If you don't, I am going to have a brief pause just ahead where we get to fill you in on who we are and why you might be here listening to us. But the topic of this webinar, which we're going to keep, I'm going to do my best to keep it right at about an hour. We may go a little bit different than that, but I'm going to work hard to try to keep it at that. So we're going to go kind of fast-paced. But the topic is Give First Live, how to find smoking deals, seven deadly sins of flipping, and something else crazy awesome. Probably not the most appropriate headline from a marketing perspective, but that's what my brain came out with. So that's what we're rocking with today. So what's up today? Well, besides hanging out on a Saturday afternoon together, this is the home stretch of our Give First week. And hopefully, if you're listening to this, you've had the opportunity to ride along with us all this week. Here's what we've handed you so far. I would have loved to have had time to make these bullet points come up one at a time because I know you guys are all reading ahead. Don't do it. Don't read ahead. We handed you goal setting on steroids, how to set high octane goals for real estate investing. That was a 2.5-hour session we pulled right out of our paid kiss flipping training and handed you on a silver platter on Tuesday. Getting the money that you need for your deals. These were all, of course, from the survey that you guys answered for us, the one-question survey on your biggest Achilles heels right now for 2011 in the flipping arena. We talked about the four viable methods of getting money for your deals, and we also handed you, again on a silver platter, the money magnetism session, which is another like 2.5-hour session right out of our KISS Flipping Amplifier training. Again, all content, all awesome stuff. I hope you had a chance to catch it before we took it down last night. We also handed you how to get REO offers accepted. We literally gave you the ultimate REO broker awesomeness. That's the biggest REO broker in the state of Michigan, and Bob has had the chance to interview him, and then he and I interviewed him again about a year later. We gave you guys interview number one, and it really helps you see you through his eyes and know how to craft better REO offers that have a higher chance of getting accepted, and also how to start over from broke in a new market with nothing but knowledge. Somebody asked that brilliant question in the survey, and it jumped out at us because we've answered that question before, but it's been a little while. That actually is still up. All those others have been taken down, but I left that last piece up. I'll leave it up through tonight just because I didn't put it up until yesterday. I do have a heart, those of you who may be questioning that. So that's what we've given you guys so far this week, and I hope that you have taken it in. I know it's a lot of stuff. Here's the word on the street. These are Facebook comments you guys left. Brianna said, as usual, brilliant answer. You rock, dude. Good content. Suggestions for wholesaling with minimum cash on hand were great, and another method could be assigning or selling an option of property. Concise, brilliant. What more needs to be said? Loaded with lots of good content. Awesome. Thank you, Terrence. Bruce, great information. Thank you. Give it the good work. I loved, James said, way to go, Steph. Appreciate what you do. Apparently, he thinks one of us is Tampa Steph. Highlighted that one. Very practical, straightforward wisdom regarding intelligent business relationships, interactions, blah, 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 blah. Good stuff. How can I save the interview? Good question. I didn't let you do that. This is a game changer and something that's going to make the difference in the way I approach my investing and my life. To describe what you share in these audios as simply outstanding, excellent, and essential to success would be insufficient. You share truths that are conducive to success in virtually all endeavors. Just came across this and would like my wife to listen. Can't meet the 10-hour deadline. How can we do this? Okay, so based on the feedback, you guys loved it. those of you who actually had the time to take it in. But that last question, I popped in there, and actually a lot of people asked that. Again, I did not let you guys download it because it is something people paid for. But, like I said, I do have a heart, and what I've decided to do is to reward you who are here with us live. I am going to give you a password at the end of our session here that will give you access to that training. If you try to go to any of those pages right now, you'll see the video at the top works, but none of the goodies work. They're password protected. I will give you a secret password you can use to get access to that for another week. So that's just my way of rewarding you for taking a slice out of your Saturday to be here with us. And thank you. I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be able to give you guys another week's access to that stuff free of charge, no strings attached. So what's up today? Well, like I said, we're going to give you your reward for being here with us live, which is a week of extra access, so stay tuned for that. We've got more music in the key of awesome for you, How to Find Smokin' Deals, Kiss Style. I'm about to unleash Bob on that. Then we're going to cover the 7 deadly sins of flipping houses, post-bubble, which is where we are right now, a new crazy awesome opportunity that has presented itself that many of you may want to seriously consider, and a private invitation to live MLS opportunity market analysis today. And that will actually be a second session after this session. So that's where we're headed. But first, who the heck are we? Okay, like I said, most of you guys probably know who we are. You're here because you're a subscriber of REI Tips. But you may not know who Bob is, a guy I'm force-hugging there in Vegas. So, Bob, I wonder if, let's just say you were at a RIA group, and you were maybe on a panel, right? Yeah, just, how, you know, they said, Bob, why are you on this panel? Why are you worth listening to? You know, give us a Reader's Digest version of who you are and why we should care. And so you got to brag on yourself a little bit. I don't know if you mind, but I don't care. Do it anyway. Let those who may not know why they should be listening to you.
Okay. I've been flipping in one shape or form for over 7.5 years. I had the privilege of quitting my job back in 2003. It was awesome, exactly 1 year after getting my degree. And since then, I've been involved in almost 800 transactions. Frankly, I kind of have forgotten, and I don't really keep track of how many deals I've done, but I kind of plug them in my head a little bit and go, well, I do about this many a year. All of them have been revolved around the flipping arena. I've hard money lending, I wholesaled, I bird dog, I fix and flip ugly houses, I do something called wholetailing, which hopefully some of you are familiar with, and that's really buying a semi-clean house and really doing nothing to it and wholesaling it to a homeowner, not to another investor. And I've done turnkey investing, sold to people who are out of the country, out-of-state investors. And right now, I am flipping in some shape or form in over 8 states. So I've kind of gone national.
Welcome to GoToWebinar, Web Events Made Easy.
Going on at a time, and various partners, between 10 and 20 partners on a deal-by-deal basis. That's how I can do those many deals. And right now, I'm currently residing in Maryland, and I have a permanent address pretty soon here in southern Utah, which is about 100 miles north of Vegas. Got 4 kids, and have lots of fun doing all that other stuff that we all like to do, hobbies.
I think you can go ahead and say 5 kids at this point.
4.5, right? 4.5.
Yeah. 1 in the oven. Coming in the not-too-distant future. So, guys, just for some perspective, I've been involved in real estate investing, and specifically mainly in the wholesaling arena. I've done somewhere north of a couple hundred deals, but I've been involved for a decade, but I'm nowhere near the power deal maker that Bob is. He and I became fast friends a few years ago, and we worked on the Kiss Flipping project together. Our strengths complement each other. So that's how we're here, why we're here with this in front of you right now. So Bob is, he may not put it this way, but he is the rock star. And by the way, that bottom picture on the bottom right, I snapped of him in the Busch Gardens, I think.
I don't know where that's from, man.
It keeps popping its head up, doesn't it, every once in a while?
I don't have a recollection of that memory. So.
Pretty sure it was the first flip disc retreat at Busch Gardens.
Cool.
All right. So, kids flipping. What? All right. Some of you on the phone are part of our posse already. You know exactly what kids flipping is. But, again, we need to make this relevant for everyone. So I want to go ahead and just kind of define a little bit about what KISS flipping is, because we keep throwing this around. You know, KISS, you probably heard, keep it simple, stupid, or keep it stupid, simple, or whatever else you think it is, but the idea is to keep it simple, to try and go the straightest line possible between point A and point B, the easiest path of least resistance. So let me answer the question, what is KISS flipping essentially? It is a simple roadmap to big profits in today's real estate arena. Now, that's pretty broad, but I think it's a pretty darn good description, and that's the, I guess, kind of a tagline that we came up with originally when we concocted this whole idea a couple of years ago. It is a single, laser-focused model for acquiring and then liquidating real estate, a.k.a. flipping. But the real emphasis there, the real emphasis there is a single, laser-focused model, okay? It is not all over the place. It's a straight path, not all over the board. And let me just ask you, I know that's kind of general. Bob, in a nutshell, how would you define KISS flipping in an elevator? And just for those of you who immediately thought of Aerosmith's Love in an Elevator, that's not what I'm talking about.
Well,
KISS flipping, what's your elevator pitch, elevator speech for describing KISS flipping?
Here's what I've learned. People just want to be a part of buying, fixing, or buying and flipping a house. Most people, when they think of real estate, that's what they think of. I am literally that simple. If you break it down in its really simple form, it's buying a house cheap, adding value to it or doing nothing at all, and selling it for more money. That's all that it is. So the emphasis really goes into getting really good at one or two things, buying them cheap and selling them at a market value. There's no special super duper software that you need, and I laugh when I see all that, and I'm sure some of that can be helpful. When I went out yesterday to look at houses, I'm sitting there on my iPhone and I'm adding up the repairs. It takes me about 4 or 5 minutes. You can complicate a lot of these things, but in the end, it really is that simple. Buy it cheap, fix it, sell it, or buy it cheap, don't do anything, and sell it for more money. And I mean, if you look at Walmart, all that Walmart's doing is they're buying toilet paper for a dime and they're selling it for a dollar.
Let me interject. There is something that makes it special that you're, I think because it's so obvious to you, you tend to overlook it, but it's not to me, and that is this. It's because, I mean, the way you just described it, some people are going to think, okay, well, you know, I've got Steve Cook's wholesaling and rehabbing courses. That's just what you said. So I know what that is, but that doesn't really tell me much. Here's how I would hone what you just said from what I've learned from you over the years. The KISS flipping model is not only very specific, but it is learning how to identify the shortest path of least resistance based on your chosen opportunity market. Okay? And that is, there's a little bit of an art there to that. It is a skill that you can learn. It's something that comes second nature to Bob, which is, you know, kind of one of the things I realized when we started putting all this together is that, you know, it seems so, he does it without even thinking about it, but it's something that isn't automatic for most of us. So, do you think that's a fair assessment?
Absolutely. Let me give a real quick example. I have a partner out here in Baltimore. Met him at Starbucks yesterday. Sat down. We have a property that we bought for $70,000. Within about a half hour, we went and we looked at the market and we thought, well, we can put $50,000 to $55,000 into that, rehab it really nice, you know, go over the top, do everything really good, and sell it for over about $195. Or we can put 30 to 35 into it and sell it for $175. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at him. I'm like, what do you think? And he's kind of squirming and he's like, And I'm like, I would rather put 30 to 35 in and we're going to make the same amount of money as if we put it in 50 to 55. And that is a great example because, you know, our house will be nice, but it won't be over the top gorgeous. But the point is we're going to make the same amount of money either way, so why not just do less work and make the same amount of money? That would be a good example of a KISS plan.
And another way, kind of a word picture for that is, you know, most people learn one deal mold, and then they go out and look for a deal that fits that mold. And they get frustrated because they struggle with finding the deal that fits that exact mold. When, in fact, your approach that you just described is you look at the deal and say, do I have a mold that works for that? Can I create a mold that works for that? So that's really a huge mind shift there. Now, there are some keys to KISS flipping, some hallmarks, and I'm just going to describe a few of them here for you. These are things that are telltale signs of KISS flipping. Number one, the acquisition focuses on REOs, REO real estate owned foreclosures, in other words, listed foreclosures. Okay, you're not buying short sales. You're not you're not dealing with motivated sellers who responded to a postcard. You're not dealing with probate. You are focusing on REOs if you are a KISS flipper. Number two, you spend approximately $0 on marketing because Bob equals marketing cheapskate. Apparently Bob's possessive equals marketing cheapskate. Bob, verify, you spend no money on marketing, right? It's all basically MLS driven.
Zero money on marketing. Zero.
We've had jokes for years about how you're a marketing cheapskate. Number three, yeah, as you can see there, it is opportunity market driven, which means that you know how to find the action in your chosen market, where the action is happening, and then focus in on that, okay? You don't go and look around everywhere for a type of deal. You look in your opportunity market for a sweet spot. Geographically, you are an inch wide and a mile deep, at least at first. Now, right now, you know, that may sound contrary to what Bob says when he says he's active in 11 different markets right now. Well, he started in one market and went an inch wide and a mile deep in one school district, became a true market expert, which is the next point. You must become a true market expert in that one school district, and you want to pick the right one. You know, you don't want to pick one where it's crappy and there's no deals, but that's part of the art here, part of what we have covered for the last couple of years. And then you drill in, and you own that. Once you own that, then, you know, you don't have to, you're in maintenance mode, and you can start expanding out into other opportunity markets, which is exactly the path that we have been privileged enough to watch you follow the last few years. You must become a market expert, and the good news is this can be done in a weekend if you have structured hyper-focus, that's a word we like to use, and drive and a little know-how. Okay. Any comments about those before I move on?
No.
All right. It is essential that you have direct MLS access and that you know how to really use it effectively. That is a huge, essential, important skill to KISS flipping. And it's easier to do that than you think. Finding and leveraging other market experts is a big component of it, okay, and which is exactly how Bob juggled so many deals at one time. I think he said 25 to 30, and I got 25 to 40 there. But a lot of deals, doesn't matter. I'm sure it's varied. But the people leverage, people using people to do stuff that normally you would think that only you could do is a huge component of it. And on the liquidation end, when you sell, finding out what the market's really asking for and then doing that, okay? Because, you know, if you're flipping, you have basically three options. You can wholesale, you can wholetail, and you can rehab / retail. But when, you know, when we first started the KISS flipping model, the core training we created actually focused just on wholesaling because That's the middle one there, because that was all you were doing, Bob, right? I mean, that was, you had found this sweet opportunity in the market at that time. And so we thought the kiss flipping model is wholetailing is the exit strategy. But the market continued to shift. And those of us who have followed along with you as the market has shifted, you've got a knack for keeping your finger on the pulse of what's going on and kind of shifting ahead of what's just ahead of what's happening so you can profit from it, which is one of the huge benefits of staying tied into you every month. But you have morphed your liquidation to wholesaling at one point and then to full-blown rehabbing based on what the market is really asking for, which is kind of like, you know, reading the tea leaves that you find in the MLS, but it's a lot more practical than that. I don't mean to make it seem like voodoo. those are some of the keys to kiss flipping. Any comments on those before I move on?
Let me just give a little helpful hint for people. This question comes up so much for liquidation. Most people out there know that I'm pretty good friends, both you and I, JP, with Craig Fuhrer. And what I've seen in the week and a half that I've been out here interacting with investors is they all get in their head that they need to be like Craig Fuhrer, and they need to go buy a humongous rehab that needs 90 grand in renovation and go to town on that thing, and that is sexy, that's exciting, that's what we see on Flip This House and all that other crap. And I will do that if that's what the market wants. But my point is a lot of people get emotionally tied to a certain strategy. How I break away from that is very simple. When I get in the MLS, and what I do is I go and I look for houses and how quick they go pendy. And if houses go pendy really quick, regardless if they're a foreclosure, regardless if they're
hey, we just got a whole bunch of static from you.
Yeah. Is that me?
Yeah, I think it is.
Hold on. Is that still happening?
Yeah. Maybe it's not. Dude, maybe it's me.
Sorry, my headphones. Hold on one other second.
Sorry, guys. Let me switch phones too and see if it's me. It just went away. I don't know why. You there, Bob? I don't hear you if you're there.
Is that better?
Yeah, it went away.
I still kind of hear it.
Well, I hear it a little bit, but it's very tolerable compared to what we just had. Just in case I'm contributing, I'll go ahead and switch phones on my end, too.
Dude, I think it's you, but it might be me. So what I was going to say there is, When the way that I determine my strategy, here's a good example, is I recognize that buying a vacant lot and buying a crappy house on a really nice lot was the way to go in Michigan. Just one strategy. How did I know that? Because I was looking at these REOs, and they're literally teardowns. You're walking out here going, why in the heck would this house sell 50 grand over asking price? Then I would notice that they were tearing that house down. So then it quickly occurred to me, oh, wow, houses that are over an acre and a half in this part of town, everyone's tearing them down. So the strategy now is to buy them and do nothing but wholesale to a homeowner who wants a vacant lot. So my point is by looking to see what's going pending, which is what's selling, and how quick it sells for and how much it sells for, is really what drives me understanding what the strategy should be. If I see a hunk of junk house sell at a high price very quickly, then why in the world would I try to rehab a house when I can buy a crapper and relist it on the MLS and make 30, 40 grand more? And I've done that several times. So that's how I know that, by looking at those pendings. Just a very helpful hint. A lot of people ask me how I do that. It's just focusing on those pendings and understanding how quick stuff's selling and what type of inventory is selling.
Absolutely, and I have a feeling we'll be focusing on those pendings here in just a little while. we've had about 50 people join us since the beginning as we kicked off. So just for those of you who joined us fresh, I just want to let you guys know, as a reward for being here live with us, all the stuff, all the goodies we put out as part of our Give First campaign this week, which are now down, except for the one I put out yesterday, they all are password protected now. I'm going to give you who are here with us live a password at the end of our training here that you can use to access that information again, all that content for another week. So just want to let you guys know that's coming here as my reward for you guys for being here with us. Because I know there's a lot of stuff to try and take in at once. Okay, so let's move on. You know you're a kisser if, like Jeff Foxworthy, right? You know you're a redneck. You know you're a kisser if you check the MLS 2 to 20 times a day. You know you're a kisser if you drive down to the REO broker's office within 2 hours of listing a clean REO just so you can people magnetize him to fax your offer over right freaking now while you're watching. You know you're a kisser if you actually, if you're actually honest with the REO brokers rather than trying to impress them into thinking you're a big shot who's just got to buy 4 to 8 houses this month.
Nice. Dude, I like that.
Oh, it came back.
You sure that's not you?
It sounds like.
All right, let me go see if there's something happening in my house.
Okay. You know you're a kisser if you have to email JP for Bob's latest bank statement so you can use it as a proof of funds for the Splash and Dash project you just spied in your 38th MLS check today. Those of you who are already kiss slippers are laughing harder than anybody else.
I missed that last part, but you keep going.
Well, you can read at the top. You know you're a kisser if you just pending hijacked all over yourself. You know you're a kisser if you start calling a $50,000 rehab with a $30,000 payday little crappers. You know you're a kisser if you make every offer possible a double dip for the listing agent.
Even when they ask you not to.
Even when they ask you not to. You know you're a kisser if you just made a $120,000 cash offer on a two-hour-old listing with a $50,000 earnest money deposit. You know you're a kisser if you just spent 3 18-hour days in a new opportunity market apparently only 3 other people know about and already know the market better than any and every realtor working it. You know you're a kisser if you just people magnetized your listing agent into managing your whole freaking rehab project for you.
This is the first time I've seen this. That's how everyone knows.
Kind of
funny.
So Bob. Those are some of the clues and kind of a concise description of kiss flipping as best we can do within the time we have here, and hopefully people grab it. Let's talk about how to find smoking deals kiss style. And it's right at about 1:30 here, so
let's speed it up a little bit.
Now I'm going to say we can probably rock it for about 20 minutes, maybe 15 to 20 on this particular section. So I'll keep you in check, but let's go ahead and talk about how a kisser finds smoking deals.
Absolutely. Okay. In its simplest form, what everyone and what I really want to help people understand is that this opportunity market that we've talked about, there's something that I've experimented with that works all over the country. And what that is every market tends to have certain what we call opportunity markets. And let me just give a few little basic definitions. And your goal as a kiss flipper and how to find great deals is to get into those opportunity markets. And here's just a really brief reason of what happens. Everything that I do is through REOs, real estate owned property that are listed on the MLS or listed by realtors. What happens is these REO realtors have to do a couple things. One of them is when they get a listing, they have to go out and take photos of it. They got to walk around, kick the dog crap out of the way, and everything else. Now, in my experience, REO realtors absolutely just hate going out to these houses because they're stigmatized in their mind. So after they go and take photos, send them over to the bank, then their next job is they got to give the bank a BPO, a broker price opinion. It's their opinion of what they think they should list that thing for. Now, a lot of you, if you could just take a second to think, if you're a realtor, and some of you are REO realtors, and you had to list a piece of crap property,
would you like to get rid of that piece of crap property as much as possible? Well, at first you may not know any different, but after a while, there's a lot of headaches that come with selling REOs. One of them is some homeowner who tries to buy it, gets it locked up, gets all mad at you because you didn't submit their offer, and then in the end, 8 weeks later, it falls apart because they can't get a mortgage. And then that can happen two or three times. So pretty soon, REO realtors tend to gravitate towards real estate investors. Now, this is a love-hate relationship because a lot of investors talk a lot of crap and then they can't perform. So that happens a couple times, and now realtors hate those guys. So now the realtors really just want to get away from the whole process altogether, and they get really apathetic. So here's what their goal is. Price as cheap as possible. Get rid of it to somebody who actually knows what they're doing, and move on and do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again. So when they go to do their BPO, they're looking for other homes nearby within a half mile that are other pieces of crap and REOs, and they want to try to say, look, that house right over there just sold for $59.9. Look, that house was $64.9. Look, this house was $49.9, and here's my three little comps that have all sold in the past 3 months. And on top of that, here's a nice little picture of the raccoon living in the roof with the mold growing 6 feet up the wall. So then they go, $49.9 is my recommended price. Well, after a realtor gets good for a while, what happens is you kind of, a sub-market is created. And this is what I call the opportunity market. So when that sub-market is created, when that wholesale market, when that, here's, you know, it's kind of like, what's it called, JP, when people can, Kelley Blue Book, right? When you're going to do a used car.
Yep.
You got like fair, poor, good, great, excellent condition of the car. Well, think of that as the same way with a home. You got the horrible end, the medium end, and the high end of a home. So in essence, we're looking at the low, low end of the Kelley Blue Book price on an REO home. Well, once I find other flippers and other, you know, markets where this happens, and what I look for is that market where you got the low houses and then you got the higher priced pretty houses and there's a spread. And then once I go in and see that spread, I then try to go into that part of the market. So let me give a couple of quick examples. When I was in Birmingham in Michigan, we bought a house for $220,000 that had a moldy basement. It needed $15,000 work. We bought it for $220,000, put $15,000 in. We sold it for $360,000 about a month later. Well, another REO agent came along, saw he had a moldy basement, and listed it for $239,000. His house. We buy the house for $230,000, put $15,000 in, sell it for $360,000. We did that six times. In essence, identified an opportunity market, and we put all of our attention, we put all of our energy into understanding that market. Because it's not necessarily black and white. You could have a 1,800 square foot home built in 1997, or you could have a 2,400 square foot home next door built in 2008. Well, clearly everyone understands that there's a pricing difference there. So it's understanding that market and becoming a market expert. Out here in Baltimore, you see it all the time. I was doing this 2 days ago in PG County, just east of Washington, D.C. You'll see investors buying homes for $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 and selling them for $200,000, $210,000 or $220,000. And so what I do is I want to go into that area, in that opportunity market. And you can literally do that with getting MLS access. Once you do that, once you understand that market, and become a market expert, which, you know, a lot of us just think about how you become an expert. What I do is I pull all the sales, and I drive up and down the streets, and I will sit there, and I will look at that house, and I go, there's a Kmart parking lot behind it, and it's still sold in 11 days for $210,000. Wow, that house looks like it might be lucky to be 1,000 square feet. Or I'll go into homes that are pending, that are foreclosures or that are retail homes, and I'll go into them pending, and I'll look at the condition. Now, everyone understands this, but what if you go into a home that sold in 3 days or 11 days or 12 days? Well, most likely that sale is going to be very close to asking price. Sellers usually don't discount their property by a lot amount, especially if it's a pretty house. So then I understand the pretty house end, and I understand the junky end, and then I understand everything in between. And we all understand that there's some houses that are reasonable condition, some that are newer, some that have bigger lots, some that have a fourth bedroom, not a third bedroom, some that have three bathrooms instead of one bathroom. And I just kind of take all of that in and I basically analyze it all together, drive by, because I'm a very visual person. I learn by seeing. So I drive by those areas.
Or you can leverage someone else into driving by and sending you the pictures and video.
Well, some people, you know, what's interesting now is the MLS is getting so nice that, and these, a lot of investors and flippers are taking professional photos that you can get the gist of it just by, you know, looking at the photos. And then, but I will always at first drive by those neighborhoods, because if you got a neighbor next door that's got, you know, four cars up on jacks and a dog that's going to rip your head off, that's going to be a deterrent or a factor when you're going to try to sell your house. So I try to understand all those very, very quickly. When I go into an MLS system, this is the other thing that I tell people on how to find a great market is I look for houses that have sold quickly, regardless of what other people may be perceiving as a good or bad part of the market. So in other words, I have no bias. And one of the best ways that you can identify opportunity markets where you're at is to not have bias, to understand that sometimes you think you shouldn't be investing in a certain market just based upon what other people have said or a negative stigmatism that may come out from different realtors and, oh, you don't want that part of town. And I see this happen with investors all the time. Or because I'm looking at a market and I'm looking at it from a different state, geographically nothing matters to me. But for a lot of you, it matters a lot. A lot of you may be sitting there with a question in your mind of going, well, I don't want to drive 2 hours to the other end of my metropolitan area because how's that going to work? I got a full-time job. And what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? So anything can be solved, but my point is I don't have any bias of where those sweet spots occur and where they don't occur. I just look for them. And I don't go into my head saying, I'm going to try to find a sweet spot within 10 miles of my home. That may not work. And you all understand this. You all understand this. You all understand this with eBay, with Craigslist, with anything. There's always hot spots and hot buttons and different items that sell quickly and other items that don't sell at all. And the real estate market is no different. And, you know, go out and try to buy a used car. It's the exact same thing. People who are professional eBayers, what do? They try to figure out what people want, and they try to find a way to buy that stuff cheaper and then make a difference on the upsale. So I'm just doing the same thing. Now, how do you tell what people want? Go look at houses that sell quickly. And that's how you can tell what people want. It is literally that simple. I wish I could maybe give you a more complicated answer, but it's not that. Go find what they want. Let me give another quick example. We have shifted our opportunity market in Michigan. I keep bringing up Michigan because I just kind of came into a new opportunity market. And as I'm out talking to realtors, I heard something, and they all said the same thing. I have 5 or 6 buyers, and I can't find a home, and I'm really nervous. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, what price point are they looking for? Well, they're looking for homes for $1 million to $1.5 million. Okay. And why are you nervous? Well, if I can't find them a home, they're going to go build a house. They're going to go do something stupid, and I'm not going to make any commission as an agent. So when I hear that, I go and I ask a couple more realtors to do the same thing, and they go, yes. Okay, great. Now I go on the MLS, and I look for the number of homes that are nice between $1 million and $1.5 million. And there's literally none. There's none. So now you can all kind of relate to this, that wow, I found a high demand area. So that doesn't mean it's an opportunity market yet. It just means that I found a high demand. Now, my goal is to say, can I go find enough distressed or foreclosed properties and that can that I can add value to, and then can I make the kind of spread that I want to make? So I'll see houses, and they sell for $250 a foot, or let's make it easy, $200 a foot. So you see a 5,000 square foot home, it'll sell for $1 million. So my question is, can I go find a really hunk of junk, 20-year-old, gold, you know, brass, old windows, old roof, moldy house, or say, $400,000, put $200,000 or $300,000 in and sell for $1 million? Now, for a lot of you, just take a zero off the end. So buying something for, say, 40 and putting 20 in and selling it for 100. It doesn't matter.
Just real quick, 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
So when I go out and I look for that, I found that new market. And I now have four or five deals that look exactly like that. And a lot of people don't even know that that's a good market to flip in. And instead, what they're doing is they're over in a place like Royal Oak where they're trying to buy a house for $70,000 that's maybe $120,000, and there might be $10,000, and then they're sitting there going, the market sucks. I can't find any more deals. Why isn't this working? I'm frustrated. Or maybe you're out in Las Vegas and you're going, man, a foreclosure comes out for $95,000, all fixed up is worth $120,000, and some dude paid $10,000 for it. How the heck am I going to make money doing that? So there's two elements there. Number one is finding demand, so finding homes and figuring out what homes sell really quickly. And then number two, figuring out if there's enough supply or homes available, foreclosures, and then figuring out if I'm happy with the difference, with the spread. So, you know, some investors are happy to make $10,000. Other investors want to make $100,000. And it all depends when you go in if that's going to work or not. So, again, the steps for that are very basic. Go get your MLS access. And we can, there's all sorts of different things that we've talked about with that. And I don't have time to go through that right now, but you get MLS access. Then you start analyzing the MLS access, and then once you find that sweet spot, what you'll see is foreclosures that keep coming up over and over and over at a very similar price point. And again, I explain why. Because a foreclosure realtor doesn't care about if I make money. A foreclosure realtor doesn't care about the amount that the bank is into it for. A foreclosure realtor is the eyes and ears for the bank, and they simply say, hey, I saw two other houses that sold for this price. I think we should sell our house for this price too. And the more information that a foreclosure realtor can give a bank, the more likely that the bank is going to list that house at that price. But once you find that sweet spot, you're good as gold. And a lot of you, you know, one last thing I want to say with that. A lot of people get frustrated because maybe there's a bunch of other investors doing the same thing. And that's where I get really excited. When I see a bunch of investors, that doesn't distract from me. That doesn't mean that it's a good thing or a bad thing. It just means that, hey, if there's a bunch of other people doing it, you know, they probably don't look at it the way that I look at it. And if it's a market that makes sense, we'll jump into it with everyone else. Jump on the bandwagon. But at the same time, make sure that you're looking for those sweet spots, and whether or not there's one investor flipping there or 40, it doesn't matter. And don't let the fact that there's a lot of competition make your decision. In other words, make that a non-factor. It's really not an issue. When I do homes out here in Washington, D.C., there's dozens and dozens of other investors who are flipping, whereas in my market in Michigan, there's none. In Arizona, there's thousands and thousands of investors who are competing against me. But if I'm good, and once you learn your opportunity market, and I'm going to wrap up here in the next minute or so, then we go to the next approach that JP covered, and that is to then go get a liquid proof of funds and then go approach that realtor, do your homework, become a market expert, and then approach that realtor and double dip. And what we mean by that is write up that offer through the REO realtor. And of course, we covered a lot of that through building rapport on, that was that a couple days ago that you posted that, JP?
Yep.
So that's where, once you understand your opportunity market, now you go back to what I was talking a little bit earlier, and that is now you get really good at schmoozing, building rapport with the REO realtors who have listings in that area, and then you set up your search to run that search 2 to 10 times a day, so that when a great deal pops up, you're able to react quicker than everyone else. And those two things, speed and the ability to know your market better than the next guy, is what's going to give you the competitive edge and make you a really good kid slipper.
Okay. Excellent. Now, before I move on, just a couple of quick housekeeping items, if I may interject them. Number one, we are going to probably go 5-10 minutes over our hour target, just so everyone knows. But I do want to be respectful of your time, so we're going to go into a lightning round here, but still give you everything that we promised we're going to give you. Also, I just was perusing through some of the questions that you guys have dropped in there. Some funny people, by the way, in there that are... So somebody noticed that, I don't know if you noticed this, Bob, that I had to set up the webinar and assign what our titles were. I can't remember what I gave myself, but I called you Bringer of War. I don't even know where that came from or why, but Glenn Byers says, does Bob look like he could call down thunder from the heavens, Bringer of War? I can't remember what mine was. But I did notice one question from someone who said that... All the emails that I have sent out this week about all the good stuff we've been giving away for Give First has gone directly into their spam, and they just found like all of it plus today's webinar notice in their spam folder. So like today is the first opportunity they've had to even know about any of this, which makes me sad from an email marketing perspective, but it is what it is. And we've had about another 25 people join us, so I just wanted to reiterate for everyone who's here for us, with us live, before we get off this call, I'm going to give you the ability, as my thank you for being here with us, I'm going to give you the ability to get access to all the stuff I've put out this week for another week. It is right now password protected. I'll give you the password, and then you can access those for another week. So that's my way of saying thank you. And a lot of the question marks that we've identified here so far are addressed in those audios, so you would do well to make the time to invest in that. And with regards to what you just laid out about the KISS style of finding killer deals, the real, I'm going to use this word again, Achilles heel, I think, that you and I have identified over the last couple of years as we have, you know, we've been working with people who are either your coaching students or our masters members. And our masters are people who originally invested in the KISS flipping training, which is not for sale right now, it's a standalone, by the way. But they originally invested in it, and then we offered them the opportunity to kind of keep their finger on the pulse of the market along with you every month. We do a couple of coaching calls with them, a Q&A, and a kind of leading edge call, and we provide them with an array of benefits for a small membership fee. But one of the things I think we've seen is that the middle step is the Achilles heel for people most of the time, and that is being able to interpret the MLS to find those sweet spots. It sounds so simple, but then, you know, we see people who go through all the core training that we put together about this KISS model, and then they're like, okay, I get this, it makes sense, I want to do it, and they get in there into their MLS, and they just kind of, you know, stare at it like a deer in the headlights. So since we've seen that as a consistent pattern, we have come up with a solution, and I'm going to share it with you here in just a minute. I'm pretty darn excited about it. It was an aha moment we had about 2 weeks ago as we were just discussing that very issue. So I just want to let you know that. All right. So let's talk about the seven deadly sins of KISS, or not of kissing, seven deadly sins of flipping houses in a post-bubble market. Number one, as you can see, is no opportunity market. You don't have an opportunity market identified, and thus you're spread all over the place. And I'm raising my hand right now telling you That has historically been my model. I've got a close friend, Chris Wark, who decided, we got started at the same time, around 2000, investing. In fact, we both co-founded. He was one of the original founders along with me of our local RIA group here. And he's still a close friend of mine. His name's Chris Wark. When he started, he decided he was going to be the big fish in a small pond. He found an opportunity market, identified the opportunity, and really focused in on that one school district. I decided I don't want to limit myself. I'm going to do deals. Any deal I see all over town, I'm going to do because I'm, you know, cutting my chops and I want to make as much money as possible. Which one of us do you think ultimately chose the better path? I can tell you Chris did. You need to mine the MLS, which is what we've been talking about, looking for clues on where the action is. One of the most important skills you can develop, and most don't have, is exactly that. Okay, and hopefully we're really driving that point home. And you also want to focus on a single school district most of the time to start with. And a big reason for that is because you cannot be a market expert on an area much bigger than that, because you have markets within a market, and what works in one school district extremely well won't work in the next school district nine times out of ten. You know, 80% of all statistics are made up. Deadly sin number two, not being a market expert. You gotta know how to really know your market. You need to know where the action is. You need to know where the money's being made and how to figure that out. What searches to run in the MLS, what the clues are that you're looking for. And you need to be able to size up a deal pretty good on the fly. And again, that comes back to the big fish in a small pond. If you're spread out and over too big of an area, then you can't be the market expert that you need to be. And you have to kind of redo your due diligence every time you look at a deal. As opposed to, you know, if you really have your mind wrapped around the school district and you've chosen it, that opportunity market, for the right reasons, then, you know, a deal hits the MLS, you don't have to take an hour to analyze, okay, what are the comps? What, you know exactly. I know that this house should be worth this much. I know that it's just like this house, the street over that I looked at, and I know, you know, it just comes to you because you are a market expert. And again, that can be done in 2 or 3 days if you hyper-focus on it. Deadly sin number three, not having direct personal MLS access. We're driving this one home. Get it. It is easier than you think, I promise. And we don't have time to have a full discussion on this, but it's one that we have discussed at great length. A lot of times we've seen it comes down to asking confidently, okay? I know that realtors have the fear of God in them about giving out their MLS access. And I think sometimes for good reason, because while it's certainly not illegal, the Board of Realtors could fine them. However, Bob, just tell me this super fast. Have you ever had a hard time getting MLS access in any market you try to get into? And how many MLS accesses do you have right now, do you think?
I probably have access to 30. I'd say right around 30 markets. Honestly, I'm not very organized, so I have to call that person back up and get access again. But I have never had a difficult time doing that. And I just will share a really, really brief strategy that a lot of you can use for this. And that is, when you go find an REO realtor, when you sit down with that REO realtor, you call them on the phone, you say, hey, I see that you got this foreclosure. I like this neighborhood. I'm going to be really upfront with you. I've never done a deal in this part of town. I have a money guy. He's out of state. You know how money guys are. They're anal about their money. And so my money guy, he doesn't trust an appraiser, he doesn't trust another realtor, and he wants MLS access so that when I bring him a deal, he's going to be able to analyze it on his own. Now, I want to work with you, and one of the ways that he does things and that I do things is we go directly to the listing agent and double dip. But you can see my problem, my dilemma here. Can I get MLS access for you, for my money partner and for me to look at, so that when I bring him a deal that's one of your deals, he'll be able to say, no problem. And he'll be able to do his homework really quickly, and we can remove our inspection clause, and he can put up a large EMD.
Would you like to talk to him? Do you have a concern with that? Is there any way I could be your assistant? What I've found is going to REO Realtors and using that approach of the money guy needs access. In essence, you kind of shift some of the reason or the anybody will give you access if you feel like it's legitimate enough reason. But if you just ask, all these concerns in their head may pop up. So
well, and if you have built trust with them as well, obviously.
Yes.
Trust and rapport.
Yes. Yep, and so that's one of the best ways to do that. And, you want to try to find one of those mid to lower REO realtors, meaning they someone who might have 10 listings or 15 listings to where a double dip means a lot to them. But if you go to an REO realtor that's got 150 listings, first of all, you're not even going to be able to tell them if they're going to make themselves untouchable. But second of all, they're not going to give it to you. So it's finding those middle ground people where double dipping will mean a lot to them. And again, you're going into the situation thinking win-win. That's the one thing that everyone needs to do. When you ask somebody for something, what are you going to give them in exchange? What's in it for them? So if you think win-win from the very beginning and how you can structure that, will be very, very helpful. And a lot of people have a real issue with this. If you could think win-win and try that strategy I just shared, and I'm not promising you that that's going to work. My point is we've learned that when you're confident, you say, I got to have it, and I want to do deals with you, but my money guy just needs to have it. And in essence, if someone partners with me, it's true. I am going to say, I got to look at comps myself. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what some realtor sends me as comps, I want to comp it myself. And people understand that, especially when you go, you know how money guys are. They're anal. They want to do the homework themselves. That's why they got a lot of money. People get it. They understand that. So that's one approach that I think could be very, very effective.
Well, that's a great tactic. I think a really what I've seen is it comes down to a lot of the time, the reason people struggle with that is because they don't believe that they can get it. And it affects how you do it, okay? Bob doesn't have magic pixie dust that he sprinkles on the phone before he calls to get those 30 MLS accesses, and he certainly isn't whipping out his checkbook and bribing people. So what could be the difference? It's got to just be in his mindset and his approach. And we've discussed that at great length in a number of sessions in the past, but a lot of people hear what I'm saying right now and go, yeah, okay, I think I maybe could kind of believe that. And then they end up going and asking a realtor, hey, do you think maybe if it's not too much trouble, if it is, just let me know. I don't mean to bother you or anything, but could I please maybe possibly have MLS access because I need it for my deals? No? Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little, but you know what I'm talking about. So the people magnetism session and the money magnetism session that we have are going to help you hugely with that. And just one more tactic. You can become someone's unlicensed assistant. I should have the word unlicensed there, which I have done. I used to be licensed, I'm not anymore. But I'm not going to go into that. I have a full article. If you go to reitips.com and do a search on the blog for realtor licensed MLS, I guarantee it'll come up. It's actually a repost of one of our kiss flippers, Kelly Miller. And it was probably the second most controversial post I've ever put up. I got so many realtors who just railed me for it, but then a bunch of others who were like, yeah, okay, I get it. And some people are going to be, they're going to rail you, and they're going to be like, oh, my gosh, you're violating my sense of everything that I was taught in realtor school. And if you can't get past that with them, don't fight them over it. Just move on, okay?
Well, here's the other thing is it's a numbers game. If you're a successful door-to-door salesman, if you're successful at anything, you're going to get told no much more than you get told yes. So when that happens, that guy must feel too strong about his MLS. Let me go find a guy who gets it, and boom, do it all over again. So if you think you can just ask it once and that's going to be the magical way to do it, then you're going to learn that overall, being a small business owner, which is the same as being a real estate flipper, you're going to encounter people who are going to try to resist you all the time. So just get used to it, move on, and find another guy who will say yes.
Glenn Byers, I'm noticing some really great comments from you in the questions here, and I'm not going to be able to take questions, unfortunately, guys, because of our short time. But He says point three in the seven deadly sins is a shift in perspective from one of a point of need to that of a point of mutual benefit. And I think that's extremely well said.
Yep.
So let's move on. Deadly sin number four is you don't know how to get real help, okay? Most people I've realized have no clue how to cultivate a mentor. I was going through some of old stuff that we recorded even back when we did the Not a Guru series, and one of the questions that was asked was, how do I find a mentor? The people magnetism session, you guys, if you haven't heard it, this next week after I give you the password to access it, listen to it, because we talk about that a lot. It is important, I think, if you're new, to have a local mentor. And it doesn't mean that you model them exactly, but just somebody who can help show you the ropes. But there is, you know, too many people, think that they deserve it. And they think that, you know, they don't go into the relationship, potential relationship, with a give first mentality. Instead, they just take. And they just have no idea how to cultivate that. But I promise you, it can be done and it should be done. It's a huge deadly sin. Also, just wasting thousands of dollars on crappy courses. Not all courses are created equal, okay? We have no problem with investing in education. You should always do your due diligence. And of course, obviously, we put kids looking together. But, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, too. And you guys know, I'm not going to call names, but you probably encountered some of it. Developing people magnetism skills is not hard, but it is specialized, okay? It's not something that you naturally do necessarily. Some people do, but a lot of it is just not hard, but you have to kind of go through the mental process of understanding how it works, okay? And we're not talking about super mojo NLP. We're talking about some basic stuff that makes a huge difference in your business. Deadly sin number five, you have no clue how to make an REO offer sexy. Most people make stupid, weak, lazy offers, and I used to. You need to see yourself through their eyes, and there is the REO broker or whoever it is you're making the offer to. You need to see yourself the way they see you. And that, if you haven't caught the ultimate REO broker interview, absolutely, if this is an issue for you, you will rob yourself blind if you don't listen to that and take notes when you do. You should double dip. Okay, if you don't know what double dipping is, it's giving the listing broker both sides of the commission. Even if they put up a wall, like we talked about earlier, and say, oh, we don't do that. Don't try and manipulate me into accepting your offer by offering me double dipping. And then secretly, they're so happy to push your offer above the others without committing it. Putting a fat earnest money deposit down. And that really, most of us don't have $50K that we can just drop all the time. But you can imagine how strong that would make your offer if you could do that, and that's a matter of being tied into to a money partner or a deal partner who can do that for you. That really will make your offer sexy. And we don't have time, but Bob has countless of stories where he's won with a lower offer just because he showed he was so serious with a larger earnest money deposit. And being honest and telling the truth is another aspect. And we talked about that on this week. Yeah.
JP, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I want to just add one thing to that is a lot of you, if you go back and listen to James and my interview with him, is he said over and over and over,
family time interruption.
Yes, she doesn't know I'm on the phone, is to do your homework up front. And as we go back to what you were saying, JP, a couple steps ago, when you're a market expert, when you understand the rehab numbers, when you understand what's scary and what's not scary with the rehab, you should be able to confidently go in with zero or one or two day inspection costs. And the only contingency that you should have should be a very transparent one, and that would be, hey, my money guy has to review it. That's it. And I literally had one of my students/partners yesterday with him. He had to call an REO guy, and he was like, man, Bob was out here, and Bob walked through it, and the numbers don't work at 57. They work at 49. And the whole time, and you know what? The REO realtor was not mad at him at all, because he just said, I don't know what Bob's going to do. He's my money guy. He's going to be in the town. He's going to check it out.
soon as he does that, I'll call you and let you know. But the point is that should be your only contingency. Otherwise, this whole inspection clause thing and then being able to break up the deal, you got to realize that that is what they're so worried about. That's happened to them so many times.
Yep.
So in a way, you can focus on that pain for them and just say, hey, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not going to be painful. I'm going to be fun to work with because I did all my homework. I really do have good contractors. I really do know the numbers, and I don't need an inspection box.
And then you be that guy. You actually be that guy when you close that deal and prove it with your actions.
Yes. Yep. That is how you make your offer dead sexy. Dead sexy.
All right. Deadly sin number 6, no clue on how to get the money for your deals. Okay, we've talked about partnering on deals is Bob's absolute preferred choice. He partners on most of his deals. Lower risk and highly undervalued by most people. Most people go, I don't want to give up half my deal. I'd much rather go borrow hard money or something like that. We don't have time to flesh it out, but you're really missing out on something that is a unique position for this marketplace right now. If you count deal partnering out, it really does lower the risk, spreads it out, and be a fantastic resource. Also, business lines of credit we talked about are much easier to get than people think right now, and private money is something that people need access to. And by the way, if you really want to look at private money, I think Patrick Riddle's material is some of the best out there. If that's the direction that you're committed to going, you can.
I'm going to make one other quick comment on that. A lot of you should have a goal of private money. I think we all do. The third one on the bottom. However, the strategy of partnering on deals and then documenting your deals, creating a blog, doing a nice little before professional, before and after, giving out the details, just simply saying, my partner and I, here's all the deals we've done. I have literally been involved with 3 investors, and they leveraged me, meaning they partnered with me. Of course, I was off in La La Land and didn't document anything. They documented the deals that we did together where I put up 100% of the money. Each one of them, after 4 or 5 deals, was able to secure $500 to $1 million. A lot of that was 100% financing. So different than hard money. It's private money, 100% financing, because they just simply started to say, here's the deals I've done. They documented it, and they went out and they started asking for private money. And when we say private money down the bottom, we mean 100%. That means they're going to finance the whole thing.
Right.
And I have several private lenders that do 100% private money. So my point is how do you get to that point? Well, if you partner with someone, that gets you the momentum. You can then leverage their experience and their risk with your partner. You have zero risk. But now you get momentum to get into that private money. But if you go to a private lender right off the bat all on your own, they're going to want to see that you know what you're doing, and they're going to want you to put some money into the deal. You don't got any. Be a real issue. So just wanted to share that with people of how do you get to the bottom one is from the top one.
And again, the money magnetism session will really help you with this one, I promise you. Deadly sin number 7, you're stuck in a box or you're all over the board. And what I mean, if you're stuck in a box is, we talked about this earlier, you got this square peg, which is the one kind of thing that you're trying to do, and you only see round holes all around you. And therefore, you determine, this must not work where I'm at. When the mistake you're making is, you need to find a round peg. You need to figure out, you know, clearly the market is asking for round pegs because there's round holes. Okay, so you're, rather than starting with what kind of deal you want to do, you got to ask the market what kind of deal. Sorry for keep sniffing, guys. I have a little sinus drain. It's TMI. Or if you're all over the board, you're trying whatever the latest and greatest thing is, you know, whatever the sexiest business model that's marketed the best. And thus, you're taking tiny little baby steps in crazy, erratic ways. Okay? It's not that you're not moving forward, but you're really slowing yourself down by not being hyper-focused on one model. And you need to become a hyper-specialist. All right? So, time to let Fluffy out of the bag. Okay? Pay attention, guys, because we've exposed some wounds, some sores, and we've kind of rubbed them a little bit here. And for good reason, because every one of the points we've made here, we believe to the core, is something you need to be aware of and watch out for. I love that picture, by the way. Thank you, watchersweb.com. You're invited to kiss the bleeding edge with us. All right? Now this is the opportunity that we talked about. I'll be straight right up front here. This is something that I want to invite you to be a part of. There is a tuition involved if it's something that's a good fit for you. We have solved a lot of the issues that have been raised here for you, and some ways that even our existing KISS bookers probably haven't realized yet, because we've tweaked it just a little bit. This is my first announcement of some of this. So I'm going to run through this super quick. A very special new opportunity like nothing else. What if we could find a way to help you, really help you, solve all those problems? What if we could offer you a direct tap into Bob's brain on a regular basis? What if we could offer you a bank statement to use as your proof of funds? What if we could offer you the total package on how to really get your finger on the pulse of this market and start profiting wildly from it? Now, we can't do this for you, but what if we really busted through a lot of these roadblocks that we talked about and nurtured you through the ones that were the biggest issues for you? Okay? Now, I know for some of you, your hype meter's going. You're going, oh, okay, here it comes. He's going to try and sell me some $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000 course or big boot camp. Hang with me. You're going to be surprised here in just a second. Very surprised. It kind of makes me laugh as I think about how, well, you'll see. What if we could offer you the total package on how to really get your finger on the pulse of this market and profit wildly from it? I think I just said that. Whoops. What if you could have a consistent opportunity to get your toughest questions answered personally by a guy like Bob, or maybe even Bob himself? What if you could watch a real market expert analyze a brand new market and MLS every single month? Ding, 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 ding. What if we could do it all for you, and now I'm not saying do all the deals for you, but what if we could do what I just described and keep the cost within very reasonable reach for as many people as possible? Let's look at the interwebs together, okay? Here's what I want to do. Okay. Oop. Should have been up here. Oh, darn, can't see all that. Darn screen settings. Okay. You see that pretty good? Yeah? Okay.
You just skinnied it up.
All right. So here's the deal, guys, and I'll just run through this concisely, and you guys, if it's a good fit for you, then I'm glad to be able to provide this to you as a service. Now open the KISS Flipping Bleeding Edge Master Program webinar special. Now, don't be intimidated by this. I've paid some guy to make some fancy graphics to represent all the digital content, but we don't have a big box of junk. It's not going to be a 10-pounder coming to your door. It's actually all online. But I like the fancy graphics. They make me feel squishy inside. So what's inside? Well, we start with monthly From the Bleeding Edge sessions, okay? These are calls that I do. I'm not going to read this off. I'm just going to describe it. These are calls that we have done for the last 2 years for our master's members. And it's me getting Bob on the phone and grilling him about what's working right now in his business. What deals are you doing right now, Bob? What issues have come up in those deals that we can learn from? What new markets are you interested in and why? How have the changes with the economy and FHA and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and appraisers, how are you adjusting to those so that they don't sabotage your deal? Can you imagine for a second how beneficial it is for those who are tapped into that every month? Okay? We do that every single month. It's 60 to 90 minutes long and we post it privately. That's one of the coolest things, I think. It gives us both such a great sense of satisfaction to be able to do that. Number two, monthly live Q&A sessions with Bob. We also, for our Bleeding Edge Masters members, basically give them a 60 to 90 minute window where they can tune in live. It's usually around 4 Eastern, and throw whatever their toughest questions are, whatever's going on, a deal-related question, you know, clarification on something on the Bleeding Edge calls, whatever it is. You're not just, you know, emailing them in. We're literally answering questions on the phone or through the webcast for those who aren't with us on the phone. And it doesn't get any more personal or any more real than that. And there's nothing held back at all. I can testify. You know,
I didn't have time to put together some feedback from those who are part of this with us already that I intended to have all this great, you know, social proof for you. But trust me when I say that people are addicted to these Bleeding Edge and Q&A sessions for good reason. How much would it benefit you to be able to ask those questions every month to somebody like Bob? Monthly MLS Opportunity Market Research Sessions. Now, this is a brand new deal, and this is what I was talking about. Time and time again, we've heard how incredibly valuable it is to give people the chance to watch over Bob's shoulder as he cracks open a new MLS, starts exploring this new opportunity market. We do that at his boot camp, and this is another chance each month for you to kind of put those Bob goggles on and really wrap your mind around how to see a fresh market the way he sees it. Okay, we've talked about he has an uncanny knack for finding hidden pockets of profit, and he just seems to be able to make it easy when other people struggle. So this is another monthly session. They'll be pre-recorded and posted every month, and we'll be, you know, doing a different market every month. So huge, huge benefit there. Really glad to be able to add that, and all of our existing masters, you guys are getting that gratis. Merry Christmas. What about Bob's proof of funds to use? Now, I'm not talking about one of those letters that you get on a transactional funding site that most banks don't even pay attention to anymore. I'm talking about an actual verifiable proof of funds bank statement of Bob that you can use to make your offers. Ding, 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 ding. I don't really need to say much more about that, but we update that once a month and give our Bleeding Edge members the ability to use that. Now, we're also, here's the deal, all that is good, but if you don't have the foundation of this kiss flipping model, which we've skimmed over here, basically, if you don't really get it, then this is not going to do you a lot of good. So what we've decided to do, and we've never done this before, is, I'm going to tell you, the kiss flipping core training, we have sold for $1,000 consistently, and people have said it's worth a heck of a lot more than that. We are actually going to include, for no additional charge at all, the entire kiss flipping core training, all of the core training sessions. It's core training session one is how to identify and craft your strategy. Each of these comes with a cheat sheet, by the way, that you fill in the blanks with as you go along the videos with it. The video and audio, you can take it, you can download it, you can put it on your MP3 player, or you can watch it on video. I recommend watching this on video because we go through the MLS a lot. Core session two, generating, screening, and analyzing leads. Okay, I don't have time to read through all this. Core session three, negotiating and controlling deals. Core session four, choosing your dream team. That is literally a thousand. In fact, a lot of people who are our existing KISS members might kind of be ticked at us right now for doing this, but it's our party. We decided to do this because it's give first year. So we're gonna give this to you guys for nothing extra. Hang on to your hat. In addition to that, we have a number of amplifier sessions that have been created. Now, these are not part of the core kiss flipping model, but they are hugely impacting on why and how Bob has been so successful. In fact, a lot of the stuff we've been giving you this week is pulled from this amplifier training. So you'll recognize some of these, but there's a lot that we didn't give you as well. Goal setting for REI on steroids, we talked about that. That is included in. And by the way, you can download them and put them on your iPod for those of you who are Bleeding Edge members with us. Money magnetism session. Okay, learn how to become a magnet for the deal money that you need. People magnetism. This is one that we did not release, but it's basically all about learning how to build and leverage exceptional rapport and authentic credibility with the real estate rainmakers around you who can really propel your deal-making status fast forward. The ultimate chapter on deal partnering, really, really, really powerful stuff. Very short. That was only 25 minutes long, but it's like a vitamin smoothie. It's packed up full of awesomeness. Bob's 80-20 rule. Okay, you probably heard of Pareto's principle. I'm not sure how you say that, of the 80-20 rule, but you got to hear Bob's unique spin on this and how he applies it specifically to his flipping business. It's very different than the typical 80-20, and a big aha moment. 17 ways to find buyers. This is a 3.5-hour session that we did with Eric Stark and Steve Mills, who are two of Bob's very successful students. We actually did this outside of the kiss flipping training, but it was just really good. People paid to be a part of it. We decided to include it for our KISS bookers.
Huh.
Tell me I got to start another webinar in 5 minutes, so got to hurry. I'll talk about that in a second. The Ultimate REO Broker Interview, Part 1 and Part 2, okay? You didn't get Part 2. You got Part 1. You can download them inside. The Original Secret Profit Formula, that's a prequel to the KISS flipping, a couple of really powerful calls. And we have 2 years' worth of extensive archives from all of our bleeding edge sessions and our Q&A calls, all inside. That is so much content. Don't be overwhelmed by it, okay? I tell you exactly how to consume it inside the members area so that it doesn't overwhelm you and how to prioritize it. But it's incredible value there, guys. And I'm not just making these numbers up. I'm not going to go into where they came from, but they're real. So how much? Well, how much do you think we should charge for something like that? What seems reasonable to you? I mean, we're giving away the farm, right? Well, let's play The Price is Right. I love it when I see people do this on webinars, so I just couldn't resist. Do you think $19.97 is the right price? Certainly that would be fair. Be a little sarcastic. What about $14.97? Would that be a fair price for all the value that we just offered you? Maybe $9.97. By the way, numbers that end in 7, for those of you who are into marketing, just tend to convert better rather than rounding them up. What about $6.97? I mean, certainly $6.97 seems like a fair price for all the value we're offering you there. I mean, people paid $1,000 just for the core training. Well, what if we gave it to you for $4.97? Still not there yet? Well, okay, $3.97. That's the best I can do. Bob asked me if that's the best I can do. Is that the best you can do? No.
Come on, JP.
How about $2.97? That's the price of Steve Cook's wholesaling course. Well, maybe $197 is the price, right? I mean, $197. All right, guys. $97. If this is something that you're interested in, I'm sorry for being so salesy there. It's not really what I like to do, but I kind of got a kick out of making fun of my colleagues there. If you're interested, you can take a shortcut to go check this out. Go to kissflipping.com/special. kissflipping.com/special. And what we're going to do is, if you decide you want to be a part of this with us, now let me clarify, it's not one time 97. This is a membership, but you can cancel at any time. You'll be charged your first month's tuition of $97 right now. And in return, you'll get immediate access to all the stuff I just laid out, all the core training and everything is there for you. Okay? It's all laid out gingerly. Now, we're also going to do, I promised you guys that we're going to give you an opportunity to be on a live MLS with us today. In 3 minutes, supposedly, we're going to start a second webinar privately for only the people who jump in to be a part of this with us right now. And you'll be there with us live. We're going to analyze a market in Florida. What market is it? Is it Miami?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Okay, we got one of our members who we've got his MLS, and we're going to be checking in just a second. And once you go to kissflipping.com/special, this is such a ridiculous offer. I hope you guys aren't thinking that there's something fishy going on, because there's just not. I said we wanted to make this within reach for as many people as possible, and that's exactly what we've done. If you decide to jump in with us, guys, no hype, no pressure, you can be on that call with us. If for some reason you can't hang on, like you want to jump in and be a part of that, but you just can't continue on a webinar with us right now, maybe you got kids you got to take care of or something, we will record it for you, and we'll make it available. This is the first, actually, of our live MLS walkthroughs. We're going to make it available for you in the members area, along with all the rest, starting with this one. So if this is a good fit for you, you've captured the vision for the model and for how we have done our darndest to solve these problems for you and give you every asset we can possibly give you for the most reasonable price possible. I know that, I mean, $100 is still $100, but you just... there's nothing else out there like this. I've never seen anybody offering their bank statement as a proof of funds. I didn't even talk about the possibility of deal partnering. That's not a guarantee that just because you're a member that you can partner with deals, but that's there is an opportunity there, and I don't have time to describe it right now. It's in, on the inside. I've never seen anybody offer this. It is a ridiculous, ridiculous offer, and I'm glad to be able to make such a ridiculous offer on this Saturday afternoon. So, hisflipping.com/special. I see a bunch of people already who are getting that. You'll get an email that will give you a link to the second webinar, okay? So once you get through there, you'll get on the inside, you'll get a username and password, but you need to check for, you actually get like three or four emails, username, password, and all that kind of stuff. But one of them will specifically have a link to the webinar. I'm going to wait just about another minute or two, and then we've got to check out and then check into that webinar, and then we'll probably just wait like 5 minutes or so to give you guys time to get into the new webinar and maybe take a quick potty break if need be before we get rolling. Bob, do you have anything to say to round that up?
I do. I want to share with some, with everyone that's still listening, another goal or agenda that I have. And as a lot of you know, with me being in multiple states, the only way that I can accomplish that is to have partners, and to have partners who really understand what I am looking for. And it's exciting because I've learned that just because I may not have a hot little market in one state where you can still do deals two or three a year, there could be other markets where I could pound out 30 deals a year in that one market. So that's the whole reason I'm out here in Baltimore, is to come in and literally set up shop for 3 or 4 months, get the heck out of here. Have my plan is to have about a dozen partners out here in Baltimore, Maryland area, and then head back to southern Utah and go play in the dirt. So I do that. That's why I share my proof of funds. I'm looking for people who want to strategically go with me into their market and be my partner on the ground, my eyes and ears. So this is how we do this, through this core training. This is how I can make sure that we're both on the same page. And it's very exciting. I guess, JP, I've never summarized everything that we're doing here, and it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm pretty
excited
for it.
And that core training was originally created for your coaching students at the time so that you wouldn't have to keep telling them the same stuff over and over. And then we decided to just make it available to more people, and, you know, it's the real deal stuff. You probably heard on other people offer kind of a bait and switch, you know, hey, I want to partner on deals with you, and then you get in there and you find out that it's really a whole different kind of thing. We're not guaranteeing you that you can partner on deals with Bob. You know, he's not going to get involved in the deal unless, A, you're educated, B, you've done the right homework and presented it in the right way, and then C, it's got to be a really good smoking deal for everybody. But there is a lot of our people partner with Bob on deals once they figure out all the stuff that we just laid out.
Well, so, that's what we're doing with Charlie for Fort Lauderdale. We've done 3 deals together, and as we go and look at the Fort Lauderdale MLS, which frankly I did look at it a year and a half ago, but I can't remember a darn thing about it. So that was exactly why, is we're going to look at a market here. And now, as I analyze this market, if I'm going to see some things that I like, I'm going to give marching directions to Charles and say, go do this, call this realtor, Cynthia, whatever. Give her a call, say this to her, go look in this neighborhood, because that then eventually can potentially benefit both of us by me analyzing that market.
So one thing I almost forgot, thank you for reminding me in the questions to give that password to you guys. I would have felt so rotten. The password is Bob is bald.
Jeez, dude.
It's all one word, all lowercase. So when you go back to those pages, just type in. I can't hear you because you're buzzing out on me.
You're Mark Cannon. That's what I'm saying.
Bob is bald, all one word. That's your password, guys, for the next week to get access to all those goodies. Now, if you're joining us in the Masters, in the Bleeding Edge, then, you know, you get it all anyway, so don't even worry about it. You'll be able to download it as well, plus all the other stuff. But if you're passing on that right now, you can get access to that stuff for a week with that password, okay? So let's wrap up. I'm going to go ahead and and sign out. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope this has been eye-opening for you. It has been a lot of fun for me. I'm actually going on 2 hours of sleep and 2 Mountain Dews right now. But apparently that works pretty well for me sometimes. Thank you, everyone. I see 143 people still online. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll talk to you guys later. We'll see you in about 5 minutes in that second webinar. Okay? Take care, everyone.